Brother Ricky Torres was reached by the First Baptist Church bus ministry when he was 8 years of age. Look right this way now. Everybody watch me. Look at me. He's 8 years of age when he was reached by the bus ministry. He is a First Baptist Church kid. You know, I feel very comfortable, Brother Ricky, going over and speaking at City Baptist because I feel very much like those young people in that they're growing up at the First Baptist Church and I grew up at the First Baptist Church. Brother Ricky Torres grew up in the First Baptist Church. He understands his pastor is Brother Hiles and Brother Scott. His mentality and philosophy is the same as ours here. Boy, a man as busy as Brother Ricky is, it really causes me to appreciate the time that he's going to give us over the next 3 days. Brother Ricky's preaching to us today. He's preaching to us tomorrow and preaching to us again on Friday. I always enjoy hearing Brother Ricky preach. He has a contagious type of personality, and he always preaches something very practical that can help you. Allow him to help you and allow the teaching of God's word to help you. Now look at me. Don't talk. Lately, I don't know why. Maybe I'm getting more irritated or you're talking more. But either way, that's going to be a problem. You make sure you're focused right up here now. Be serious about your Christianity. Amen. You have a man that's prepared and ready to help you get closer to God if you allow him to. Brother Ricky, we're excited to have you. Let's give him a hand as he comes preaching.
All right, have a seat. Now, you don't want to talk when I'm talking out here, okay? Number one, I got a big mouth. All right, I have a big mouth. And I have to be careful sometimes because I don't realize how big my mouth is. Now, let me get a couple things straight out, okay? I'm not Mexican, number one. I am not Mexican, okay? Everybody got that? All right, I'm Puerto Rican, 100%. All right, I was born on the island and exported, okay? So, but I do have a very loud, you know, have you ever seen me in church and you're like, and you think I'm mad? I'm not mad. Just Spanish people talk loud. Everything we do is just loud. So I move around a lot. That's because I'm a very nervous person. I love coffee. All right. So you hardly ever see me without a cup of coffee. And so I move around a lot. Number one, I love coffee. I'm a nervous individual. Number two, I grew up in Chicago. All right. South Side. All right. Although I'm a Cub fan. And, Chicago, if you don't move around, you get shot, okay? So I'm going to move around a lot. Turn your Bibles, John chapter 6, verse 67. Now, I was reminded that I was preaching at Hammond Baptist, and because of that, I have to change my vocabulary. I have to change my language. And so I can't use words here. I use that in my teen church and City Baptist and so on. But tell you what, if you ever get to go to Hiles Anderson, come over and work in my teen center. It's about the closest thing you'll ever get to going to Baghdad, all right? Or spending time in Afghanistan. There's not a week that goes by, and I guess I shouldn't say this because we're talking about church, but there's not a week that goes by, I don't think, where some kid doesn't get arrested. And just this past week, a boy was up in there, and he decided that he didn't like the Christmas decorations that Brother Hassey put up. And so he started tearing them down and started cutting stuff up and did quite a bit of damage. Well, he got caught. We put him down, called the police, and he started smarting off to the police. Not a real good thing to do. And so the policeman took him, and they were going to handcuff him, but he started a fight. Then the pepper spray. I love when the pepper spray comes out. That's great. It reminds me of a Sox game. And pepper spray came out, and the kid got sprayed, and the kid got handcuffed. And I thought, man, What a way to spend a day at church, amen? What'd you do in church today? I got pepper sprayed, I got beat by the cops, and I got handcuffed. And but if you ever get a chance, come on down. It's great. It's interesting. It's awesome. I love it. John chapter 6, verse 67. I'm going to spend a few days with you here, and I'm excited because I want to talk to you about something that I've been teaching my young people. I travel a little bit, about 5 or 6 times a year I get to travel. And so I see all sorts of different youth groups. I'll tell you what the average youth group that I go to is like, okay? And average youth group, it goes something like this. There's usually about 40 in the youth group, if you want to say an average youth group. Other 40, you have about 25 girls. You have about 15 guys. Of the 15 guys, two think they're the hottest things. There's a stud muffins for the youth group, right? About of the remainder, you know, about the other half are all dorks and geeks and, you know, got the Coke bottle glasses and so on, stink and smell and all that. And then the other two are super good Billy Sunday Christians, and they run the youth group. Now, that might be stereotypical, but that is a lot of what I see. I'm going to, for the next 3 days, I'm going to today talk to you about the whole series that I want to talk to you is about own your faith. Make your faith your own. Own your faith. Make your faith your own. Today I'm going to tell you a little bit, and you use a lot of scripture today, and just kind of show you from scripture how people come to faith. Everyone in here has a different journey into faith. Now, if I were preaching to my teens on Sunday morning, they have a different journey that they come to faith. Here, it's a little bit different. Here, because of the influence of our church, and because the influence of a college, and because the influence of your parents and so on like that, it's a little bit different. There might be more parents involved in here. There might be more young people in here from the time that you were born. I mean, you were born, they brought you home, and the next thing they did, the first place you ever visited, you can't remember this, but first place you ever visited was the nursery of a church. But I need young people to understand that faith, young people, is not something that you get because it's given to you. Faith is something that sometime in your life, you're going to have to own up and say, it is my faith. It is my faith. You know, I was reading about a couple of Hollywood actors and so on, and just kind of interested. You know, sometimes you see a Hollywood actor and you kind of wonder, do they believe? Have they ever had a time in their life where they knew Jesus Christ as their Savior? And I was just kind of browsing, doing some reading, and I came across Jessica Simpson, the singer who was popular a few years ago, and realized that she grew up in a Southern Baptist home and her father was a Southern Baptist preacher. I read a little bit about the biography of Tom Hanks, that, you know, famous movie star he has grossed more money as an actor than anyone. And I realized that he grew up in a Nazarene church, his father being Lutheran, having been saved, talking about the fact that he loved going to Wednesday Bible study. Keep reading about some other people here. Read about Gene Simmons, the man who was the lead singer and the head of the Kiss group, talking about how when he was young, he would go to a Lutheran church with his grandmother, and he believed in faith. And I kind of wonder, how do those people get to the point where they go from having some faith to really having no faith at all? What is it? Look at John chapter 6, verse 67. We can talk a lot about sad verses in the Bible, and in my opinion, this is one of the saddest verses that a person can read in the Bible. John 6, verse 67. If you're there, would you read it with me, please? Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Here Jesus Christ is talking to the disciples, to men that he chose, to men that he trained, to men that he ate a meal with and spent some private time with. And here he is, he's to the point in his life where there is a crisis in confidence, wondering if the very 12 men that he spent more time with, are they all going to go away? There was a crisis in faith there. Too many of us, our faith has been given to us. Now, mine was not, and I'll talk to you about that a little bit. I'll tell you about a crisis of faith that I had and so on by the time we're done this week. But too many of us, our faith revolves around three things. It revolves around our friends. After all, you really don't have friends that don't believe like you. You really have never had to go out and win one of your friends to the Lord. You really have never had to step out and found somebody in your little circle of friends that is not a believer, that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. For the most part, your friends are surrounded around you. They're around you. Your friends are the ones that surround you when you leave. Your friends are the ones that, you know, you play on the same baseball team and you're on the same spirit and you're on the same pep band. But our faith basically is revolved around a couple of things. One, our friends. Around our friends. By the way, that's a poor place to get your faith from. Number two, our faith revolves around our feelings. I just feel comfortable. I just feel like I like this group of people. Listen to me. Don't you ever, 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 ever leave First Baptist Church and say, well, I'm going to this church because I feel more comfortable in this church. Listen, your faith ought not be brought to you. You ought not gain your faith because of your feelings. Hey, you know what? There's days where I don't feel like going to church. Amen? When is it? Every Sunday morning, man. There's got to be a day in our life when we sleep in, all right? There's got to be. There's got to be a Saturday. No, I'm a bus captain. I can't do that. But it's either our friends dictate our faith, our feelings, or fun. Everything's got to be about fun. You know, you're going skiing, and I'm not the best skier, man. God bless. I've been skiing. I've done the Black Diamonds. I've gone up to what's called A Basin up in Colorado. I think a couple of you men have, and I'm just not a good skier. You know, I can't stop. They're going to teach you. They're going to say, you know, to stop, do the pizza. And I'm like, I hate pizza. You know, I can't do the pizza. Can we do a taco? You know, and I know they tell you to do the pizza. And so I can't do the pizza. So what do? How do you stop? You just fall over. That's it. That's the way I fall. Now, my wife, on the other hand, if you don't know my wife, by the way, everybody knows my wife. Nobody knows me. Then my wife gets up and sings, and they're like, oh, she's such a good singer. And then they're like, that's your husband? Ugh, you're married to that? How, he must beat her. How in the world did such a nice lady marry such a mean man? But it's all about, you know, it's fun. You know, we go to church if it's fun. We go to an activity because it's fun. We do things because it's fun, and there's nothing wrong with fun. Yeah, I'm to the point now where I was telling Brother James, I said, I'm the oldest youth pastor on staff, and you know what? I really don't care if I see Cedar Point anymore. I really don't care if I go whitewater rafting anymore. I really don't care if I got to rescue one more kid out of the water. I really don't care if I go skiing anymore. You know, it's all fun. Everybody, woo, woo, woo. Next, and that night we're like, not you all, us. But too much of our faith is simply built around our friends, our feelings, and fun. Most of us have never, ever, listen, have owned up and claimed our faith as our own. Most young people have a borrowed faith. A borrowed faith. You know, as I read through the Bible, I see that people came to Christ. They came to know their faith basically by three different ways. Let me share those with you. Why don't you take your Bibles real quick with the little Bible study here and go to Psalms chapter 16, verse 6. Psalms chapter 16, verse 6. Now, this is not the way I came to my faith, but let's show you, since I realize we got many young people in here with good families. Psalms chapter 16, verse 6. Now, read this with me, all right? Psalms chapter 16, verse 6. The lines are fallen unto me in a pleasant places. Yea, I have a what? Goodly heritage. So, I see reading through Scripture that there's three different ways that people come to faith. One is a goodly heritage. My house talking to a man yesterday, he said, I can trace my family background to 1420. He said, my great, 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 great grandparents, he said, were Anabaptists. He was telling me, he said, my great, great, great grandparents came over on the Mayflower. They were part of that family. I said, really? You can trace? You're lying, because then nobody know. I don't even know my family existed 10 years ago. Yeah, 1,400 years ago. He said, Brother Torres, I can trace my family tree all the way back to the Revolutionary War. And I thought, that's pretty good. He said, you know, he said, my family have been Baptist ever since 1420. I can't say that about my family. I'm the first Baptist that's ever, you know, come out of my family. We can trace that back to 1976. That's when I got saved, in 1976. Now, you look here, and many of you have a godly heritage. Your faith has been given to you. Mom is a Baptist. Dad is a Baptist. Grandma was a Baptist. Or if not a Baptist, they were at least good, God-fearing people. But sad but true, most of us inherit our faith. Most of us inherit. I mean, you went to a Baptist church, and you go to a Baptist school, and you play other Baptist schools, and you play on a Baptist basketball team. Everything you do, in your faith, from the time you were little, you've not known anything because it's been given to you. Now, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. Man, how I would love to trade places with you. My grandparents were not good, godly people. My parents were not. My parents are good people. My dad's passed. My mom is still living. But when I was in third and fourth grade, my dad would give me a quarter and would tell me to take a swig of the beer bottle. Man, I made a killing on money. They'd give me money and say, "Here, go curse your uncles out." Now I do it for free. But But back, I mean, they would give me a quarter and say, drink some beer. They'd give me a quarter and say, go curse your uncles out. You know, when I was young, man, my dad drank constantly. And by the way, as we got older, my dad thought it was okay for, you know what? He's got his boys, there's four of us. He's got the boys. And now if the boys want to drink, they can drink. They can drink at home. We were allowed to drink. Now, I didn't, but we were allowed to drink as early as 13 years old, so long as you drank at home with dad. As you got older, I mean, back in the day, everybody smoked. And man, you know, as soon as you wanted to smoke, my dad would buy you a pack of cigarettes and he would say, here, if you're going to smoke, I don't mind you smoking, but you're going to smoke in my house. You're going to drink in my house. I could tell you just unbelievable, vile stories of things that my uncles brought into our family and things that they approved of and thought it was okay. My dad had been married four times. My mom's been married twice. You know, every one of my brothers has been divorced. Every one of my brothers has turned out to be an alcoholic. One of my brothers sits in federal prison today. That's my heritage. You say, you ashamed of it? Absolutely not, because if it were not for that which God brought me through, I would not be here today. But you have a goodly heritage. It's been given to you. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. You ought to look at that and say, thank God that my life is one where mom and dad have been stable. The home has been intact. Dad has never, you know, I remember at 13 years old, having to drive my dad home because we would leave a family party and he'd be too drunk. And I'd have to get in that Oldsmobile wagon, an Oldsmobile station wagon. That thing was a boat. And I'd have to get in there as a 13-year-old boy and drive my dad and family home because dad was too drunk to drive. But as I look at the Bible, we come to faith because of a godly heritage. This morning, if that's your case, you know what you ought to do? You ought to be thankful for it. You ought to praise God for it. You ought to realize that, you know what? Listen to me. If you've never seen your dad a drunk, you better thank God you've never seen your dad a drunk. If you've never seen your mom and dad split, hey, look at me. You better thank God you've never seen mom or dad split. If you've never had to sit in court and on a child custody case and have your family split because your parents divorced, hey, listen to me. Today you better be thankful because you got a goodly heritage. You can talk about daddy's a good godly man and mom's a Sunday school teacher and dad's a bus captain, what have you. Hey, don't knock that. You ought to thank God that that's your case. So we get our faith, number one, through a goodly heritage. That's a good one. Number two, go to Acts chapter 8, verse 34. Acts chapter 8, verse 34. You still with me?
Yes, sir.
Look up at me. I'm the nicest man you'll ever meet till you cross me. Now, Acts chapter 8, verse 34. I'm not going to go into the entire story, but here you have a man that's a eunuch. And look at let's start off with verse 30. I said 34, but and Philip ran hither to him and heard him and read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. How do we get our faith? Number one, we get it through a godly heritage. Number two, we get it because somebody shared it with us. That's my case. That's my case. When I was a young man living in an apartment building up in the city of Chicago on Cermak Boulevard, a bus worker came and brought me to church. They brought me on horseback riding Sunday. Now, if you know anything about horseback riding Sunday, they don't even use real horses, you know, when they take the kids horseback riding. And it's like 30 seconds around the bus. Okay, get off, you know. And that's the story of my life growing up on a bus ride. We did the Goldfish Sunday, and every time was pizza. It looked like a little Lord's Supper wafers and what they gave you to eat. I was a chunky kid. I wanted more pizza than that. And somebody came to me, just like somebody went to the eunuch and witnessed to the eunuch, and the eunuch said, I don't know. I've never heard about Jesus. You know what's really amazing? It's incredible that today you can walk the streets of Chicago or Schererville or Highland or wherever, and you can find people who've never heard the name Jesus. We're not in Indonesia. We're not in Baghdad. We're not in some third world country where they believe in some false god. I'm talking about you can find people who don't know who Adam and Eve are. They don't know who Jesus Christ is. They've never heard the stories of Jonah and the whale. They don't know about Adam and Eve. They have no knowledge at all. Now, so one, you can come through a godly heritage. Number two, somebody can come to you and tell you, and that was my case. I am so glad. Sometimes we look at some of our college students, and man, they look goofy. You know, sometimes they don't dress right. They don't just talk right. And by the way, you think it's bad now. You should have been here back in the day. And I mean, they come out there and got the floods going on and got the big, thick Coke bottle glasses going on. I don't care what they look like. They brought me Jesus. They brought me Jesus. You know, I'm looking here, I'm not going to start naming any names to embarrass anybody here, but there's a young man that plays on your basketball team. He's a starter. You know, that young man, 25 years ago, I was up on the north side of Chicago, and I came across a man. That man was intoxicated. He was drunk, had a long night. He was sitting in a car, and the car was on the side of the road. His one leg was out, the door was open, and I happened to be visiting on my bus route. I came across this man. I put him back in the car. I got that car going. I took his wallet. I found out where he lived. I called his family, and I got him home. That man, the very next day, rode the bus to church with me. That man today is married. That man has had 3 children graduate from this school. That man today has a young man who I think is a senior, junior or senior, that is in this school this morning, plays on the basketball team, all because somebody went and told that man how to be saved. So I don't know how you come by your faith, but maybe it's a goodly heritage, or maybe it's because somebody brought it to you. Now, let me say this. If someone brought you to faith, then why don't you go out and bring somebody else to faith? The most selfish thing that we can do in the world is to know the answer and keep it from others. You know, I made a decision when I was 17 years old that not a week was going to go by where I wouldn't go soul winning. Now, it's been hard. Now, I know you know, not as young as I look, okay? All right? But not a week has gone by, I believe, where I've not gone out and witnessed to somebody. I'm going to go soul winning this afternoon, 3:30. We do our teen soul winning on Wednesdays, 3:30. We'll board a few buses, and I'll get on the bus. And I think I take the high school ladies today. We alternate it. We'll go out. We'll go soul winning out till 5:30, and then we'll go eat, and then we'll go to the evening service. And, you know, tonight, it'll be cold, but I'll stop the bus. I'll pull it over. I'll take some high school young ladies with me, and I will go soul winning with them. Last week, I took the high school young men. I will go soul winning with them. And listen, if your heritage or your faith was brought to you because of godly heritage, you better thank God for it. If your faith was brought to you because somebody brought it to you, then don't you be so selfish that you keep it from somebody else. Let's find out the third way in the Bible how people came to faith, all right? Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 8. So today we're talking about how you get your faith. Tomorrow I'm going to talk to you about preparing your faith. Prepare your faith because them dark days are coming. I'm going to tell you a couple of things in my life about some dark days that came. I'm going to share with you a very personal testimony about my life that I don't share much, but I'm going to share it with you to show you how you need to strengthen your faith. Now, real quick, like, let's go to Acts chapter 3, verse 8. The Bible's talking about, let's go to verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the kingdom. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the Bible says there in verse 8, "And he leaping stood up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." We can go on in Luke 19 and talk about Zacchaeus. We can go on to Luke chapter 8 and talk about the woman with the blood issue. We can go on to John chapter 6 and talk about the man who waited at the pool of Bethesda. Now, some people come to faith because of heritage. Some people come to faith because it was brought to them. Some people come to faith, and I hope this is not you, because you have a great need in your life. You see, there's a lot of people today that sit behind in a prison cell that are now coming to Jesus Christ. There's a lot of young men, young ladies that are now sitting somewhere in some hospital or in some drug rehab. There's a lot of young men and young women now after the divorce, after the child have been taken, after their health is gone, who are now coming to Jesus Christ. Why? Because they have a great need in their life. Now, I love what the Bible says. The Bible says that whosoever will may come. Bring them all. Red and yellow, black and white, doesn't matter. Bring them all. Bring them all to God. Bring them all. But listen to me. Some people are going to come to faith because they have a need. Because they've gone as low as they can go. Because they've ruined their lives. Because they come back second-handed with their health in their hands saying, God, I'm about to die. Would you do something with me? God, I'm addicted. Would you do something with me? God, my family's not where it ought to be. Would you do something? They come because of a need. Now, I'm going to tell you something. How you come, it doesn't matter. But many of you in here ought never, ever come to know your faith because you have a need. You ought to grow into your faith. You ought to know your faith. You ought to love your faith. Now, hang on, I'm almost done. So how do people come to their faith in the Bible? I said, number one, a goodly heritage. Number two, it was brought to them by soul winning or evangelism. Number three, some people come because of a need. I said that too many of us, your faith is simply built around your friends, your feelings, or the fun you have. You know, it's time that you take possession of your faith. It's time that you say, you know what, Mom and Dad, thank you so much that you were faithful. Thank you that you brought me to church. Thank you that you taught me God's word. And now, Dad, you know what? I think I'm ready now to accept your faith. And I'm ready to not only accept it, but I'm ready to work it and to do something with it and to grow my own faith. Now, I don't know if you understand this. Some of you are looking at me like, huh? The reason is because, you know what? When you borrow something, you don't care for it like you ought to. I travel. When I travel, I always rent a car. I love rental cars. I would never buy a rental car. Why? Because you got idiots like me driving rental cars. How do you drive a rental car? Listen, drive it like you stole it. Amen? Go through all the tolls. No matter. It's not my license plate anyhow. Go as fast as you can. Amen? You know them speed bumps along the road up in Chicago? Nah. Those aren't speed bumps. Those are road tests. All right? Just drive through those as fast as you can. Turn the corners as fast as you can. I mean, you eat, spill the coffee, spill the chips, spill everything in there. Who cares? It's not mine. It's not mine. I remember I was in, last year, my wife and I were in Puerto Rico, and I borrowed a car, or rented a car. So I'm, you know, driving as fast as I can, and I forgot to stop, and I hit a car. Say, what'd you do? I kept going. In true Chicago fashion, amen? You say, but how do you know if that other car was hurt? I don't know. I didn't have time to look. I just kept going. Was there any damage to your car? A little bit. What'd you do? Went to auto parts store, got a little ratchet, fixed the bumper right there, and turned it in. You say, that's a crash car. Not my crash car. It's a rental. Now, you know, when you borrow something, you know, they're not going to take care of it. They're not going to, you're not going to, you give someone something, say, here, you know, I will let you use this. And they're not going to, that's why, you know, I don't happen to be Mexican, but I know my Mexican friends say that, you know, a Mexican never borrows his hat, his gun, or his woman. There's three things that he just never loans out, all right? But listen, you look at something and say, well, you know, this is mine. Because it's mine, I take care of it. I don't know how many of you guys in here drive. But for those of you guys that drive, you know, man, it's the coolest car. It's the nicest car. You got the best car in the school. We look at it and we laugh at you. What a piece of junk. But it's yours, right? Real quick, like four things. When something is your own, you protect it. You protect it. Why don't we protect our faith? Because it's not our own. Who cares if somebody badmouths it? Who cares if things enter our Christian school that'll hurt us? Who cares if there's things that are brought into our youth group that'll hurt our youth group? Who cares? It's not my faith anyhow. Not my job to protect it. When you own something, you appreciate it. You appreciate it. I appreciate my car. I own it. I like my house. I own it. I like guns. I own them. But when you own something, you appreciate it. You protect it. You talk about it. You know, you guys get your cars. This is yours. You know, your tires are worth more than the car. But, you know, it's worth. You're like, oh, look at my car. It's yours. You want to talk about it. And I think if you owned your faith, you'd protect it. If you owned your faith, you'd appreciate it. If you owned your faith, you'd talk about it. And then lastly, if you owned your faith or when you own something, you want to show it off. You want everybody to know. Hey, did you see my car? Hey, did you see this? Look, hey, look, did you see my laptop? Hey, did you see this? Why? Because you want everyone to know what you have. Hey, did you see my little leather jacket? Hey, did you look at it? I went shopping. Look at this. You want to show everybody. Why? Because it's yours. You appreciate it. You protect it. You talk about it. You want to show it off. And listen to me, young people. We'll talk about this tomorrow and Friday. But it's time that you decide that you are going to take on your faith, and it's going to become yours. Yours. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Father God, I pray that in a very special way, Lord, in these next couple days, that you would help the young people to understand the importance of claiming their faith, taking possession of their faith that many of them have received, Lord, because of a goodly heritage. Father, I pray that in the next 2 days you'll work and help the young people to understand that it's not just good enough that they have received it. It's time that they own up to it, that they do something with it, and that they grow their faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.